Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Rachel Matos of Blue Lotus Collective, and today we are discussing Rachel's decade-long journey into entrepreneurship in the ever-evolving influencer marketing and social media industry. Rachel is an experienced social media strategist, entrepreneur offering clients customized strategy, content creation, and social media management. Her experience spans over a decade in the influencer marketing space, and her clients include Neutrogena, L'Oreal Paris, Hampton by Hilton, Target, and Nestle, to name a few. Rachel is a strategic thinker who thinks outside the box, offering her clients the insight and foresight needed to create a successful digital marketing campaign that resonates with audiences. Thanks so much for joining us today, Rachel.
Thank you for having me.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So where are you tuning in from today?
I am tuning in from Southern California in the Pasadena area.
Nice. That's awesome. Beautiful area.
Good weather as always.
Nice. Yes. I'm very jealous. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
Well, it changes all the time. Right now what motivates and inspires me is, what motivates and inspires me right now is actually building my business because I really would love to have a little bit more freedom. Mm-hmm. So I guess it's not something that's really that I can just like say, this is exactly it. But I think the idea of freedom right now sounds very enticing to me, even though as an entrepreneur, you never really have freedom. But I definitely am inspired to create a life where there's a little bit more flexibility.
Okay, interesting. And then, so let's delve into your story. So how did you get into digital marketing?
So I moved out to California from New York in 2004. And prior to that, I was in the museum field in New York. And when I came out here, I was looking at a lot of blogs, because especially New York blogs and art blogs, because I just missed that whole life.
Yeah.
And I was inspired to start my own blog. And I kept changing the blog ideas, the names and the concepts all the time. But what I just really wanted to create something where I can feel inspired by the New York New York fashion bloggers and style bloggers, but also learn what was going on in Los Angeles and in Southern California, and write about it. So it was kind of just like a push to get me to go out and do things and experience new things so that I can mm-hmm. write about it. So I had a blog, it was called The Art Muse. And through that, I started meeting other bloggers, particularly mom bloggers and Latina bloggers. And okay. In the Latina blogger space, I met a woman by the name of Ana Flores. She had a blog, or more of a community platform at the time, called Spanglish Baby. And she was launching an agency called Latina Bloggers Connect, because this was like right at the beginning where especially the parenting bloggers were starting to get brands to notice them, and they were, you know, starting to get paid for their work. So okay. She had the idea to do something like this for Latinas who want to work with brands as well, because our stories in the Latinx communities, we had our own different stories to share. And so she had this great idea, like, hey, why don't we do it for this community? And it took off. And I worked with her as her account director, initially account executive, and then mm-hmm. it just grew from there. So that's how this whole thing started.
Okay, very cool. And then when did you decide to start your own agency?
So I was with the company for 6.5 years, and it was through that company that we worked on huge campaigns with Disney and Neutrogena and I mean, just an endless list, like hundreds of campaigns that we did for influencer marketing with them. And I was with them six and a half years. And then the company started to change and evolve because the influencer marketing landscape changed so much. So the company started focusing more on events and summits and workshops and conferences and doing brand campaigns that were more in real life instead of just digital. And so when that started changing and evolving, the company changed as well. So I decided I would really like to take my digital marketing experience and try something new. So I launched Blue Lotus Collective in 2018. And I focused more on the multicultural space. I was also consulting at a company that was acquired by CAA as their sort of their influencer marketing go-to person. So it seemed like I was just, I just kind of started slowly building my own name outside of the company I was at before. Mm-hmm. And with Blue Lotus Collective, I still had a lot of those resources and people that I'd worked with before. And I'm like, hey, I'm doing this thing now. So I was able to build the business because I had those referrals and people that I'd work with. So networking and meeting people and working with them and doing a great job is a great way to build your clientele. So that's how Blue Lotus really was able to get off the ground because of the network that I already was a part of.
Okay. And you guys still focus on serving influencer marketing? Is that sort of your niche?
It isn't. It's actually digital marketing. So I work with mostly brands, businesses, personal brands who really want to develop a digital footprint online. And that can be anything from developing a website to the actual social media execution strategy. Sometimes they already have a website and they just want to build on that. We get hired out by graphic designers who are working on something and the client is requesting also to have marketing as well. Okay. So they'll bring us on. So I get work from like all different types of areas. And so we focus on that. My specialty is creating a strategy. That's what I've been doing. I've created strategies, for when I was doing a lot of the influencer marketing with the brands. That was our role. And so that's really my thing. And because I've been in influencer marketing for so long, I get called in to do that, but it's not something that I've been pushing out there because I think influencer marketing it can be pretty tough. There's a lot of competition. There are a lot of companies now that have hired in-house for influencer marketing campaigns. So it's not something that I was going to put at the forefront of the business. I feel everyone could use digital marketing for their business. And I think we saw that, especially with COVID.
Yeah.
How important it is to make sure that you do have a digital presence and a way to sell your services and products online as well.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Digital marketing really exploded during the pandemic.
Right.
Yeah. So how would you say your company differentiates itself from other agencies?
So one of the most important things to me is the aspect of storytelling. And that's, again, because I come from the influencer marketing space. And so you have some digital marketing agencies that are, you know, and I can't really tell, but you know, when you see some of them, like their online presence and numbers and analytics, that is all extremely important. That is a big part of what we do, but also a big part of it is to make sure that there is authenticity and that there is storytelling and that we do let the clients know that there is a process to growing your presence online. You're not going to go viral right away, or, you know, some of the requests that I get, I don't make any fake promises whatsoever.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of the work that we do, that it is very authentic, and that I'm very clear at the beginning that, you know, this is something that takes a while to grow, to build a community, to turn your community into a consumer. This is all something that requires a lot of patience to do, a lot of consistency, and we'll get there. It's a journey. So I prefer to work with clients who are in this for the long haul. And who are not, you know, expecting me to, there are some clients that have expected me to buy bots and things like that. And that's just not what we do. So I do provide a pretty, robust strategy for them. And then it's up to them to decide, you know, whether or not what avenue they want to take, how much they want to invest. So I would say that honesty and authenticity is really at the core of the company and what we would expect our clients to want for their brand as well.
Okay, interesting. And how do you approach your own branding and marketing to stand out as a digital agency?
Oh my goodness, you know what? And I'm sure a lot of digital agencies can relate to this. You're so busy marketing other companies that you neglect your own.
Yes.
So that's where I'm at right now. And as I'm doing this podcast and I've been putting myself out there a lot more as a business owner of Blue Lotus Collective in the last few months, even though there's not a whole lot of hours in the day.
But yeah.
Yeah. So I do struggle myself with, okay, I did all this work for our clients. You know, we have to do this. There's things on the website I have to do. I have to put up our case studies. I have to do all the strategies that I do for everybody else. I have to do it for our company. But again, yeah. It's a matter of having the time to do it, which most entrepreneurs and agency owners, I know they struggle with the same thing.
Yes. Yes. I know that as well. So yeah. And then what strategies are you working on right now to generate leads and clients as an agency?
So right now, it's been so different because of this COVID situation. So like right now, I am using a lot of my resources to start getting out there digitally. And it actually, believe it or not, it took me a longer time to adapt to pivoting because most of my clients all came from referrals. And then the second batch of my clients were from events that I would attend. So a lot of it was meeting people in person and building those relationships. And that's how I was able to bring in clients. When everything became digital, I have to admit, I was not a fan of Zoom. I mean, I knew I had to do it, but it was just not natural to me. I was so used to going to lunch with someone or meeting up with them, or we were at an event together and someone introduced me, you know, that was just priceless in building my business. So for the duration of this COVID situation, I mean, we've just been relying on the clients that we have now. And like I said, it took me a long time to adapt. So now is when I'm starting to say, okay, well, let's start looking into ads. Let's start looking into more meetings online and more digital networking than I've ever done in my whole life.
Yeah. It's a huge adjustment for everyone.
It was a huge adjustment. And I was so concerned with making sure that my clients were going to stay in business. And so now I'm like, okay, this is going to be a situation for a while. I feel like COVID is going to stay with us for a while. I don't know to what extent we're going to have to continue this, but yeah, I'm relying heavily now on creating all new contacts and basically starting from scratch on the digital front and not relying so much on referrals or knowing that I'm going to meet someone at an event.
Right. Okay. Makes sense. Are there any mistakes that you've made along the way that have been, you know, good learning experiences for you?
Yes. One of the mistakes that I've made is giving a potential client so much handholding and accessibility that they just end up kind of spinning your wheels, and you're creating pitches and you're doing decks and you're doing this and you're doing that. And then at the end, they're like, well, you know, we can't afford it or something like that. Like I've learned you have to really you want to be accessible because you want to get that business. At the same time, you have to create boundaries where you're like, okay, this is exactly what, you know, we can offer, and set some sort of a format or a template for yourself so that they don't just keep coming back and asking for more things. I mean, anyone who knows who creates decks and proposals, they're very, very time consuming.
Yeah.
So it really helped me learn how to manage my time better and how to manage that communication a lot better.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great lesson for sure. So let's talk about the evolution of social media that you've witnessed, and where do you see it heading?
Hmm. the things that I see now. And it's really not something that I 100% love. Like I just said, it took me a long time to adapt to a digital space, but I really love, and one of the things that I got to work on were virtual events, virtual concerts. I had a lot of Friday nights, Saturday nights where like my friends and I were doing these like disco dance parties, like on Zoom. I'm like, oh gosh. Yeah. This really sucks, but it helped me get through that time.
Yeah.
We did this really fun campaign with AARP, and that was an influencer marketing campaign through, we did it through Blue Lotus Collective and Women Online. We did a collaboration. Mm-hmm. And that one was really fun because they had DJs from different cities. So they had a New York DJ, Miami DJ, and just the vibe of like all the different cities was just so, it was so much fun. I was working and had the music playing. So I feel that that kind of these interactive online programs are something that brands can really take advantage of. And I feel like they should really tap into to that when things can't be in person. Mm-hmm. The other thing that has been great is that you're able to also meet people without having to sit in traffic for 2 hours if you have to do a work meeting.
Yeah, it can save a lot of time.
It saves a lot of time. And the fact that the freeways here are not completely congested all the time is a wonderful thing. And one of the other things that I think is fantastic, and I hope it continues, is that a lot of companies continue the hybrid approach to working, where you're not sitting in a cubicle all week long, and that you can have a little bit more balance in picking up your child from school at 3 o'clock and going back and continuing work.
Yeah.
So those are the perks to what has happened. And I really hope it's something that continues to grow.
Yeah, those are some really great points. And I agree. I think the hybrid model is a really effective way. I think people are more productive and it's better for employees' mental health. Well, anyone's mental health, really. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Right. I mean, here I'm in Pasadena, and if you live in Los Angeles, you know, like going from Pasadena to say Culver City, where a lot of the digital marketing agencies are located, like on the west side, sometimes you can sit in traffic for over 2 hours just to get there.
That's insane.
So, and imagine you're sitting in traffic to get to work, you're there all day, and then you have to do it all over again to get back home.
Yeah.
You know, and you have a family and you have, it's very stressful. And I think a lot of people realize just how stressful it was when they got the opportunity to work from home, even though working from home also has its own stressors, but
you yeah. Know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I agree. So how have you seen influencer marketing evolve throughout your career?
Oh my goodness. When I started in 2011, the bloggers were getting paid a few hundred dollars for a post. And I mean, and it was exciting at the time because it was like, wow, I was doing this for free. Now I'm, you know, getting paid. So we went from being like super happy with, you know, a $50, $100 post to developing huge campaigns with brands. So the evolution I've seen has just been amazing. I can't even describe it in words because I was so knee deep into it. Mm-hmm. But since then I've seen bloggers become authors, television hosts, develop their own products and lines, develop their own service-based businesses. So they've been able to take their dream, which they didn't even know could be a possibility, and just continue to create something truly amazing. I've known a lot of food bloggers now. They have cookbooks, they have food lines. I mean, it's just endless what you can do online, and just how much growth I've seen over the years and how many dreams I've seen come true over the years.
That's really interesting. And do you have any tips for creating an effective marketing strategy for your influencer clients?
The biggest tip I have for them, which is the one that I said that I struggle with myself, is consistency. I have a client, she is an author, and it took us a while to really work on her voice, her message, her audience. Who exactly is she talking to? Who is this for? Mm-hmm. And also for her as well. And the consistency. What are you passionate about talking about every day? What's your thing? Taking, you know, lifestyle pictures, that was not her thing. Her thing, and then video. She was completely afraid to do video. And I'm like, let's try video and you deliver your messages. And at first you can, I remember her first video, she was shaking on camera. She was so nervous. And now she's doing lives 2 to 3 times a week, interviewing people. They've featured her on large networks, you know, talking about her expertise. So it was something that was a lot of trial and error. So I would say, you know, to try different things, but make sure that you're consistent. Mm-hmm. Do it even if you're shaking and you're afraid, because that just may be your thing. And it turns out that that was totally what got her in front of a lot of different people. And she was able to develop a community. We're still working on it. Mm-hmm. Things change. Now we have Reels and TikTok, and that's not really her thing. So we're always trying to find new ways to get her message out there. But I would say to just keep exploring, but make sure that you're consistent with it.
That's really cool. And that must feel so good when you're helping push someone out of their comfort zone, because I'm sure that gave her a ton of confidence in herself as well and really helped her business. So I'm sure that must feel really great as well.
Yes.
Do you have any advice for other entrepreneurs working in digital marketing?
So my advice for entrepreneurs in digital marketing is, it really depends, because you have the influencer marketing that we were just talking about. And that one, my advice for anyone who wants to go into influencer marketing as an influencer would be to make sure, like I said, to be consistent and to continue to perfect your voice and understand that things are going to be up and down. Mm-hmm. And for anyone who's pursuing like digital marketing as far as a social media strategist or someone who's doing management, is to do as much homework as possible, especially in the parts of running the business, with understanding how much your rates should be, mm-hmm. not undervaluing and underselling yourself to people.
Such
always
a big
staying
one.
Sharp on top of all of the latest marketing trends, and really find your thing. My thing is very visual. I'm a totally visual person, and I know that that is my thing. And storytelling is really like something that with brands, I really try to get them to understand that the audience doesn't want to read or look at something that seems very manufactured. You know, mm-hmm. you want to make sure you're speaking to people. So really understand what it is that you can provide as a service. What are your strengths? Some people's strengths are really writing. They're very strong with writing caption and writing copy. So understand that about yourself and make sure that you put the best price. And it's hard to determine what the price tag is, because you have so many people who are doing it for very little money. And then it makes it harder for people to understand that this is a very valuable skill that we're providing for this company, for their company.
Absolutely.
That's a big one.
Yeah. That's such a great point. And so where do you see Blue Lotus Collective in 5 years time?
5 years? Oh man. Right now it's like so day to day, but in 5 years from now, you know what? I would love to be able to start doing events. I would like to create courses and workshops and start helping those who really want to get into this industry, because I see so much misinformation. And again, I see so many, especially women, not putting a price tag to all of their hard work. And I would really like to start tapping into to helping entrepreneurs a lot more, and the ones who are in digital marketing. So I do see Blue Lotus evolving, which is why I initially called it Collective, because I saw it as we were going to build a community. At the time, you know, I wasn't 100% sure. I knew I wanted to provide this service, but as we're going along, I'm thinking, yeah, it would be really wonderful to be able to start helping others learn how to be in this industry.
Yeah, I think that's such a great goal. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So I'm still reading it, but it is The Almanac of Naval Ravikant. I follow him online and all of his advice, but this book is really great because it kind of sums up all of his pearls of wisdom. So right before bed, it's like, because you know I got marketing in my brain like all the time. So right before bed, I grab it and just kind of, it just really confirms why I do what I do.
Yeah.
And why I love entrepreneurship, because, you know, you have those hard days.
Yeah.
But when I read the book, I'm like, okay, you know, you're on the right path. Just continue to stay patient.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
I am someone who is constantly trying to find the best morning routine for myself, because I can easily wake up, turn my laptop on, and start working. And I know that that is not the best thing to do. Mm-hmm. So my morning routine always consists of coffee, which I drink coffee, like I need like 2 hours of downtime in the morning just for my coffee. Mm-hmm. And then I have my journal. And this journal is very specific because it's the kind of journal that's asking questions, so that I won't just sit there like, what can, you know, just like thinking of what I want to write, but it's very specific. Like, what do you want to accomplish today? What are your goals for today? You know? So I do
love
write that down. Yeah. And, yeah. And then I pretty much start working, and I eat and take care of myself throughout the day. I take breaks and go for a walk. So I don't necessarily do it right in the morning. I do try to balance things out throughout the day.
Okay. Yeah. That sounds like a great morning routine. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
I was actually just watching Sophia Amoruso right now on YouTube, because I wanted to look into her. She has a, it's called Business Class. Mm-hmm. So I was just interested and curious about that. But she's someone that I do follow what she's doing. And there's another one. She is the owner of Unique Markets, and she's another one who I really like to follow. It's Sonia Rasula.
Okay.
Yeah. And she has a lot of fun entrepreneurial content as well, but I really like her business model and just how she markets herself as an entrepreneur.
Okay, great. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite online tool? I don't know. The first one that comes to mind, what do you mean, for like social media? Like the,
yeah, I mean, it can be anything, like project management, like a tool used for social. Sometimes
okay,
people just say Google.
Oh no. I love Basecamp. Basecamp is my favorite. I've tried different project management platforms. Basecamp is my favorite. I don't know what it is about Basecamp. If it's not Basecamp, I'm like, ugh. The way that they have things set up, for me, who's someone who's so visual, it's so easy for me to follow their template for some reason. I really like it. The other one that's a lifesaver is Slack. I use that a lot for clients to make mm-hmm. sure that, you know, we're communicating throughout the day there.
Yep.
And recently I've been getting into WhatsApp, even though it's been around for a long time. I'm liking WhatsApp right now.
But,
nice. I guess this is, yeah, those would be my favorites right now.
Okay. And what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
My career in digital marketing.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I come from the arts, and one of the struggles in the arts is many artists are not taught in art school, or have to learn how to be a business as an artist.
Yeah,
you do it for the love and the passion, right? And then when you go into digital marketing, the art of it is secondary, and the business is first. So I really wish that I had a little bit more knowledge and education on the functionings of running a business. It's something that I learned with the previous company I was in, because it was a startup and we were all learning. But I feel, gosh, man, we could have learned a little bit quicker, you know, or I could have learned a little bit quicker. I'm not going to say I could have learned a little bit quicker if I had some of that information, but you know.
Yeah, that's it. No, that's a great lesson.
Learn on the go.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Rachel. It was really great chatting with you.
It was great chatting with you too. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.